Thank you, Bill. Good morning. Nice to be here with you folks this morning, and we thank the Lord for each of you being here this morning. Pray that our time together will be blessed by the Lord. I'd like to read a little piece here. The title of this is Tithing. A man came to visit his pastor and said, "Pastor, my tithe is becoming a problem to me. When I was only a $50 a week clerk, it wasn't much trouble to drop $5 in the offering plate. But now I've gotten a large income, and I can't spare the large amount of tithe that would be my portion now. I wonder if you could please help me with this problem." The pastor replied, "Bill, I appreciate your candidness in coming to me. Let's pray about it." And he prayed along this line, "Lord, Bill's tithe is a problem to him. Lord, Bill's tithing is a problem to him because he's making so much money, Lord. Give him a business reversal, reduce his income so that his tithe won't be a problem anymore." The man interrupted and said, "Hold on, Pastor. I don't think my tithing will be a problem anymore." This morning we want to speak on the subject of giving. Many would call it tithing. The word actually means the tenth. And there are many today who teach tithing and teach that people should give at least a tenth of their income back to the Lord. In the New Testament, we don't find tithing. We do find, however, giving. And giving is to be a voluntary giving to the Lord, not necessarily a tenth, sometimes less if need be, though we never find less than a tenth in the Bible. There are those who are able to give much more than a tenth of their income to the Lord. The Lord has abundantly blessed them. So when we speak about what some would call tithing, we are talking about giving. Now, as any of you who have been here at Shannon Hills for very long know, we don't say very much about giving. We don't pass an offering plate at our 11 o'clock service or Sunday night, nor Wednesday evening in our service. We don't pass an offering plate. And some who come in among us are surprised at that and wonder how the work of the Lord is funded. There are certain reasons why we do not pass an offering plate. One of those reasons is that we want to do all that we can to avoid anyone thinking that they can do anything to merit God's favor. And there will be today probably millions of people in churches in the United States who will place money in the offering plate. Many of those have been baptized or sprinkled, whatever their particular denomination or church group suggests. Many of them are people who will be active in their churches. Many of them are morally good people, but unsaved. Unsaved. And it's sobering when we read in the scriptures where the Lord Jesus said that a day will come when people will stand before him and he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those are probably the most sobering words that we can read in scripture. And the Bible says that those people will turn back to the Lord Jesus and say, "Lord, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. We did this, we did that." And they'll list things that they've done in the name of the Lord. They were clearly religious people. Sincerely religious people. But they had never trusted Jesus Christ. And God's word makes it abundantly clear that the starting point to the Christian life is a recognition of the fact that I, each one of us individually, are a sinner before a holy God in whom is no sin, and a God who cannot tolerate any sin. But when we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life to pay for our sins, when we come to him in simple faith, confessing our sinfulness, our need of a Savior, and we take the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the Lord Jesus, through his Spirit, comes in and indwells us, and we become new people nor new people, born again through the power of God in our hearts. So we don't want to give the impression to anyone that giving something to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel or any other church is going to in any way gain any kind of merit, brownie points, whatever you may call it, with God. A second reason is that the leadership of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel believes that as we seek to lead God's people according to what we find in Scripture, that the Lord will speak to the hearts of his people, and they will respond in obedience to God's word, and therefore we don't need to make frequent appeals for money. And the Lord has certainly proven that to be true over the past 50-plus years that this assembly has been in existence, so we're thankful. Now, that doesn't mean that Shannon Hills Bible Chapel doesn't have needs. There's a whole lot that goes on at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And when you look at the plant or the buildings and you look at the grounds and you look at everything else that goes on, there's a lot of money spent, a whole lot of money that's spent. We believe that money should be given by the Lord's people. That money should be given by the Lord's people. And not unsaved who may be sitting in the audience who may choose to contribute if an offering plate was passed. Turn with me, you would, to 3 John. Now, this is the epistle. 3 John chapter 5, 3 John verses 5 to 8. There's only one chapter in 3 John. 3 John, the epistle of John, 3rd epistle of John, verses 5 to 8. And here we have this truth brought out that giving to the Lord's work should come from God's people. 3 John verses 5 to 8, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." Now this is John speaking to Gaius, who was a man in that particular assembly of believers. We don't know anything more about him than what we find here, but he was clearly a man who was highly regarded by other believers because John had heard about him and heard about his testimony, and hence John's reason for writing to Gaius. Verse 6, "Who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake," notice this, "taking nothing from the Gentiles," or taking nothing from the unsaved. At that point in time, almost all of the believers were Jewish people. "Taking nothing from the Gentiles or the unsaved. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth." And so we find that principle that God's people are to support God's work. And God is not looking for unsaved who are really children of the devil. Now, we don't like to think that way, but the Bible says that we are either a child of God through faith in Christ, or we're lost in sin and we're under Satan's power. We are his servant. Serious matter. God is not looking for funds from Satan's servants. As nice as they may be, and as willing as they might be in some cases to give, God is not looking for money from them. He desires money from his own children to support his work. So why do we speak on the subject? And we haven't had a message on it in just over 2 years. Some would find that difficult to believe, but nonetheless, that is true. We don't speak on it real frequently, but the leadership of the assembly feels that from time to time, we absolutely should. We speak on it because it's taught in Scripture. The Bible says an awful lot about money, vastly more about money than most people think is actually there. But a lot about money is given in Scripture. Secondly, giving is essential for the continuance of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. It's absolutely essential. Things cannot continue as they have in the past over many years without giving. And that's understandable. We grasp that. And another reason is that Christians who have not learned the blessings associated with giving forfeit great spiritual blessing. I want to say that again. There are many, many believers who have never grasped what God's word teaches about scriptural giving by his people, and they forfeit great spiritual blessing. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 15 to 17. Now, I have markers in my Bible here on each of these verses, and so I can find them pretty quickly. And we're going to be looking at a lot of verses because the Bible says a lot about money and about giving. But if you're not able to keep up with me, just kind of let your fingers take a rest from time to time, and I'll share with you what those verses say. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Philippians. Now, the Apostle Paul had a deep love for the believers at Philippi, a deep, deep love for these people. He had visited there. He had planted a church in Philippi. Those people had gone on for the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said at the beginning of this epistle, he said, "I remember you continually in my prayers." They were dear, dear to his heart. So he's writing to a group of friends. And here's what he says. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving," there we have it, "and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Notice what he says in verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." What is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying, "You have given to me. I am active in the Lord's work. I'm one of his servants. And when you gave to me, you contributed to your eternal bank account," so to speak. In other words, you are gaining dividends in heaven. Now, a person is not saved by anything that he or she does, but the scriptures say a lot about rewards in heaven. The Lord rewards those who serve him. The Lord rewards those who serve him. And when, in fact, we follow God's word obediently, we build dividends, so to speak, in our heavenly account. And folks, we're going to spend a whole lot more time there than we spend here. And that is certainly known to all of us. The older we get, the more certain we become of that. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, "I'm not asking you to give me money. I'm not asking you to give me anything. I'm thankful when you do so." Clearly the Apostle Paul had needs. But he's saying, "I love to see you giving because you're building spiritual rewards." You know, another reason I feel strongly about the whole area of giving is that the Lord has dealt with me in very, very clear ways over the years. And I can remember a couple of instances where I had, in my own life, I had, actually I was in the Air Force, U.S. Air Force at the time, and I was, just felt I didn't have a lot of, and I didn't have a lot of money, I assure you I didn't have a lot of money, but sometimes I just felt that my expense had automobile payments and certain other things. And I just remember thinking that it's just really difficult to give. And so I would slacken off for a period of time. And the Lord would begin to work on my heart on it. And I can remember on one occasion, Patty and I were engaged now. She lived 210 miles from McGuire Air Force Base. McGuire Air Force Base is in southern New Jersey. She lived over near Lewistown, Pennsylvania, 210 miles away. We were engaged. I was scheduled to get out of the Air Force probably 4 or 5 months later. And about every third weekend, she would have a three-day weekend or 3 days off from the hospital. She was working at Lewistown Hospital as a nurse at the time. And I was able to get a day off on those weekends so that I would drive over and visit her. Well, the Lord had been speaking to my heart about giving just shortly before this. I'd gone through a period where I really hadn't. And this time was coming, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about it. And I said, "Okay, I'm short on money, but I'm going to give because I know the Lord wants me to do it." And getting over there, I had to take the New Jersey Turnpike, and that had tolls on it. I had to pay gasoline for my car. It didn't cost nearly what it does today, but it still costs. Of course, we didn't make as much back then as we do today either. But so I really wanted to go this weekend, and I made plans to go and believed the Lord wanted me to. And I drove over and arrived at her place, I think it was on Friday night. And she was working that night. She had to work through noontime, as I recall, the following day, which would have been Saturday. And her dad said to me, he said, you know, Walter, now Walter was his brother, Patty's uncle, Walter has some lumber that he needs to move tomorrow. And Walter had a kitchen cabinet shop, and so he used a lot of lumber for that. He said, Walter has some lumber that needs to be picked up at a certain place and taken over to a barn that Patty's dad owned. He said, I wondered if you'd help us with it tomorrow morning. Well, I was probably, let's see, I would have been 24, 25 at the time, and I had lots of energy, and I was healthy. Patty was going to be working the next morning anyway. I had no reason to say no. Great, yeah, glad, be glad to help you. So the next morning we got up, and I think there were two or three loads of lumber that we took over, and we hauled it in the back of Patty's dad's pickup truck, and really loaded it down and made these trips back and forth. Picked it up, stacked it, took it, and then stacked it in the barn and back and forth. And I really didn't think anything about it. That night, the doorbell rang, and Patty's dad went to the door and said, Dave, Walter wants to speak with you. So I went to the door, and he pulled out some money, and he handed it to me. And I was totally dumbfounded. It just had never occurred to me that he was going to pay me for that. But he gave me some money. Well, I realized that stories like this mean a whole lot more to the individual who the Lord is working with than they do to an audience who's listening to it. But I trust that some of you have had similar circumstances. Had another occasion in the Air Force where, again, I hadn't been giving for a while. And this was earlier. And again, I just felt that I needed to, and I started. See, I'd gone back and forth on this for a period of time. And so I was giving again. Well, I had submitted a suggestion under an Air Force suggestion program that McGuire Air Force Base had implemented. They were really looking for ideas from people on base, servicemen, as to how they could improve really any area of the base operation. And I had had a couple of ideas that I thought would be helpful, and I had submitted these and heard nothing. Right about the time, I think probably within 2 weeks or so of the time that I had started giving again to the Lord, they called me up and said that they were going to give me an award of $200, that one of my suggestions had been accepted. Now, $200, folks, in the end of 1971 was worth a whole lot more than $200 is today. We all know that. $200 back then was a real nice reward. And again, I linked it to my obedience to the Lord. I'm not saying that every time we do, we respond to something that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about, that the Lord immediately is going to give it. I'm not saying that. Nor do we give to God to get from Him. That's not the right motive. But the Lord will be no man's debtor. And it's good to remember that. That is scriptural. And so we're going to look in the Bible at what the Bible says about giving. And I want to break it down with three questions. Why should we give? How should we give? And by that we mean when. How much should we give? To who should we give it? And then, to whom should we give? We want to consider those. And then some promises that we find in Scripture for those who have come to grips with the teaching in the Bible concerning giving. What does God promise? So why should we give? Now I'm going to run through quite a number of verses here and not going to look up each one myself, but just look up some of them, and others just going to share with you what's there for the sake of time. Giving is referenced in each of these passages of Scripture. Back in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. This is Abraham, way, way back in the first book of the Bible. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. And the occasion is that Abraham, with his 313 servants, he was a wealthy man, is coming back from having rescued his nephew Lot and his family and others who had been taken captive when the city of Sodom, where he should not have been, was in fact raided. So Lot went out with 313 servants. They rescued them, and they're on their way back. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Now, Melchizedek is a figure in Scripture that we don't know a lot about. We take what Scripture says about Melchizedek. We believe it. Again, we just don't have much information about him. And so Abraham is coming back, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, went out to meet him. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. He gave him a tithe of all. This is Abraham giving a tithe of that which he had taken when the spoils, when he rescued Lot and his family and others. He gave a tenth of that to Melchizedek. So we find that the teaching on giving is way back from the beginning of the Bible. It's clear that God had told those way, way back that tithing was a part of his plan. Now, this was 400 years before the law was given. There are those who would say, erroneously so, of course, well, tithing is something that's in the Old Testament, was commanded under the law, not for today. Well, that is not true. This was 400 years before the law was given. Now we're going to look at Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. Genesis 28, 20 to 22. And this is a period of time during the law. Genesis 28, 20 to 22. This is Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Then Jacob made a vow, verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you, God, give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." So again, we find giving. In Deuteronomy, I'm not going to look at this for the sake of time, verses 14, 22 to 23, we find giving under the Old Testament law, or tithing. I'm going to use those terms kind of interchangeably, but we're talking about giving for us today. We find again, under the Old Testament law, God commanded a tithe. And when you look at the tithes, more than one, that the Israelites were required by God to give, they actually gave much more than 10%. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Let's look at that passage of Scripture. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. This is Solomon writing. He says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." You see, it's important that we realize that everything that we have really belongs to God. He gave it to us. He didn't have to. And so when we give something back to him, it's been said that it's like this. We take that which we choose to give to God, and we place it in an offering plate or a basket. We take our hand off that which really belongs to God anyway. God has given it to us. We're given a portion of that back to him. We're taking our hand off that which really belongs to him. And that's what giving really is. And you know, folks, we don't have to look far to see people who are far worse off than we are. We have so, so much to be thankful for. So in Proverbs, Malachi, we find in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, I'd ask you to turn there also, please. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Here we find the seriousness with which God viewed not giving. Malachi chapter 3, verses 12 to 8. Or 8 to 12, excuse me. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. This is the Lord speaking. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." Now that's sobering, isn't it? The Lord is saying, "You people have robbed me of that which was rightfully mine." "But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?'" And the Lord says, "In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." And then the Lord challenges them. He says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." and try me now, says the Lord. In other words, test me. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. So the Lord is saying, test me, test me. And we would issue that appeal. It's scriptural. If you have never been in the habit of giving regularly to the Lord, we invite you to test the Lord and see his faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Dare any of you, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, dare any of you having... hang on a minute, I've got the wrong verses. Chapter 16, I'm sorry. Chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Paul's teaching to the Corinthian church and to all of the other churches was similar to this that we find here. So we find giving taught all the way through Scripture. From the beginning to the end, we find giving. It is a part of God's plan for every child of his. How should we give? Well, in the verse that we've just looked at, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Who is to give? Let every one, it says. First day of the week, let each of you give. So we see that we are each to give. Now, can we all give the same amount? Obviously, we cannot all give the same amount. The Lord doesn't expect us all to give the same amount. But the Lord does expect that every believer gives something as he is able. You know, this is a good thing to teach our children. It's a good thing to teach our children. I remember having been taught this when I was a very young child. And if I would get just a little bit, I would take... I got a dime, for example. A penny of that would go. Now, it doesn't seem like much. That's not much. But anyway, that was the idea. When I was a young child, if I did some lawn work or something, I might get a few dimes for having done so. But again, the whole idea of giving, and it's something that we should teach our children, that they might honor the Lord with their income and experience God's blessing as well. So we're to give, each one of us are to give, and we're to give regularly. Now, when it talks about the first day of the week, that was the day that the believers met. That's the day that we meet. Obviously, not everyone is able to give each Sunday. And obviously, the scriptures are not talking about Sunday being the day that you have to give. But there are 52 Sundays in a year, so it speaks of regularity, doesn't it? Speaks of regularity. And we are to give on a regular basis to support the Lord's work. Now, there's some who are paid weekly, there's some who are paid every other week, there's some who are paid monthly, and some may be paid other ways. I don't know. But we're to give regularly of that, a portion of that which God has given us, back to him. What should our attitude be when giving? The Lord is concerned about our attitude. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. In this advice I give, And this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. You know, it's one thing to have good intentions. It's another thing to put those into practice. And it appears that the Corinthians had good intentions of giving, but they hadn't put it into practice. Verse 11, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, that's what the Lord's looking for, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. You see, the Lord is looking for us to give. Some give more, some give less, but it is according to what we have. It's according to the blessing of the Lord, and the Lord has blessed each of us so that we can give something. And then we go on, and if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just a page over, verses 6 and 7, we find the attitude with which we should give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And you know, folks, it comes back to that idea of recognizing that everything we have comes from the Lord. It's all his. And what we're doing is giving a portion back to him, knowing that as he gave it to us in the first place, he's able to make that up to us. And the Lord is always faithful to do so. How much should we give? Again, we've talked about that briefly, but it's proportionate to our ability to give. It's in proportion to our ability to give. To whom should we give? Well, folks, not to everyone who asks. And we need to remember that. Remember that there are believers throughout the nation who will turn on the TV and they will hear someone making appeal for money, and they will give money to people who don't know the Lord, or if they do know the Lord, they are not operating according to his will and not operating according to scriptural principles. Now, I'm not saying all of them are like that. Obviously, they're not. There's some wonderful, wonderful people on radio and TV who are serving the Lord faithfully and are worthy of our offerings and worthy of our support as we're able to help them. We're blessed by many ministries, and we should certainly help them as we are able to do so. But not to everyone who asks. We need to know who we're giving to, because the Lord holds us accountable for what we do with that which he has given us. And it's possible to prosper an organization that is not in fact serving the Lord. And when you learn something of the lifestyles of some of those who on TV make appeals for money, it's clear that either they don't know the Lord, or if they do know the Lord, they are far from operating according to biblical principles, and they are not deserving of our financial gifts. So not to everyone who asks. We're responsible how we give. We read here that we are to give in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. We read that we are responsible to give to our own. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. We read the following: "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." We're responsible for our own. And brothers and sisters, we should support our own families to the extent that we possibly can, and relatives outside of our families to the extent that we can. They're also our own in a sense. Before we ask that the assembly fellowship with them to support them, we have a responsibility to them. My brother, who is in full-time service with the Lord and lives down in Brownsville, Texas, just across the border from Mexico, goes into South America. A lot of his work is in Peru, and he teaches pastors. A lot of these are very poor pastors who work in rural areas, and he gathers them together, and he teaches biblical principles, and has been a tremendous help to them. He was on a trip just within the last 3 weeks, and his backpack was stolen. And in his backpack, he had money. He had his American passport. He had his iPad, had his camera, and all of that was gone just like that. Had to go down to the American embassy to get help getting back to the United States of America because he didn't have a passport any longer. And right about that time, we had some income, and I sent a check down to him to seek to assist him. Again, not my immediate family, but he certainly consider Patty and our children my immediate family now, but again, my blood brother, and I thank the Lord for him. I'm going to run through the last of these as to who we should give to, give you the references, but not going to look them up for the sake of time. We are to give to missionaries. That is scriptural. And when we give to a missionary, The Bible teaches that God will reward us as he rewards the missionary. And I'm not saying we get the same credit that the missionary does, but the Bible gives a principle that's very, very clear, and that is that when we support the Lord's work, when we support the Lord's servants, the Lord rewards us as having had a part in that which that missionary or that work was doing. And so we may not be able to visit China, and we may not be able to visit India, and we may not be able to visit Brazil, South America, and have a part in the work there. But as we support the Lord's people and the Lord's servants, the Lord credits us with having had a part in what they are doing. And that is a wonderful, wonderful truth. So missionaries, evangelists, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 4. Teachers, Galatians 6, 6. Bible teachers, Galatians 6, 6. Elders, 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. In particular, those who are ministering the word, as our brother Mark. Traveling ministers, 3 John 5 to 7, we looked at that. Christians in need, we're to give to brothers and sisters in Christ who have needs. And then non-Christians in need, Proverbs 9, 17. Brothers and sisters, I would share with you this morning that the elders of this assembly take this very, very seriously. And we give from the offerings that come in to support every one of those that I've just named, every one of them. Now, we can't do everything for everybody, can't do everything for anybody, but we can do some for many. And each of those who are listed here, missionaries, evangelists, teachers, elders, traveling ministers, Christians in need, and non-Christians in need, this assembly, through gifts that come in, through food that goes into the food pantry, is given by the Lord's people, is given to meet these people's needs. So the Bible teaches that every believer should be joined to a local church fellowship. Every believer should be joined to a local church fellowship. It's not uncommon to have someone come in the doors of the chapel here and they'll give us a story, true or not, we rarely know, but they will give us a story and tell us why they're in need. And if you ask them if they know the Lord Jesus, their Savior, they will normally say yes. But when you press further and you say, "Where is your church?" you realize that the Bible teaches that your church should be helping you in your time of need. They have a story that, either they don't have a church, or if they do, it's a long ways away, or this or that or the other thing. And clearly, they are not following principles that are taught in Scripture, and in many cases, probably don't know the Lord. The primary focus when giving should be to our own local assembly. And I say that because the Bible teaches that we are responsible to support those who feed us and who serve us. That is certainly not the only place that we're to give, absolutely not the only place to give, and we would never say so, but it's the primary focus. It's the primary focus because that's where we are taught. That's where we enjoy Christian fellowship. It's that body of believers who prays for us, who seeks to help us in our times of need. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we read cards after the worship meeting where people thank us or thank the assembly, Shenandoah Bible Chapel family, for helping them in their times of need. We're not suggesting again that we give only to the assembly, but again, that should be the primary. Here at Shenandoah Bible Chapel, we view giving as an act of worship. We view it as an act of worship. And each Sunday morning, following the worship meeting, as part of our worship, remembering the Lord Jesus and his death for us at Calvary, having given himself, his life for us, having saved us, in appreciation to the Lord, we give a portion of what he has given us, we give it back to him. And if you are a believer and you are not attending the worship meeting, we encourage you to do so. Come and join us every Sunday morning at 9:30 and fellowship with us. If for some reason you're not able to be at the worship meeting and you would like to give, as many of you realize, maybe not all, there's a little box on either side of the doors as you go out. There's also a box on the table. They're small boxes, but they're there so that you can give if you choose to do so to the Lord's work. But we encourage you, if you can, to be with us at the worship meeting. Not so that you can give, but so that you can worship the Lord Jesus and praise him, remember him, and what he's done for us. Trust that these matters help. There are also promises in Scripture for those who do give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, verse 8, and then Philippians 4:19. The Lord promises that all of our needs, the Lord will provide. He will provide for all of our needs. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, our God is a generous and loving God, and we have it's a blessing to know him. It's a blessing to serve him. It's a blessing to be able to give to further his name throughout this world. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you make your will for us abundantly clear in Scripture. Ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our understandings. And Lord, we pray that we, your people, would live faithfully to that which you give us in your word. Lord, we commit these scriptures and that which has been said to you and ask, Lord, your blessing. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for having saved us. And Lord, we thank you for all that is ours in the Lord Jesus, your Son. We pray with thanksgiving in his name. Amen.